You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A
yes,
podcast.
Yes, you are.
New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication.
I'm sipping a tea.
Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive.
A cold tea for church planting.
Are you drinking an Arizona tea, Ed?
I am. Can you, you know my tea preferences.
Yes.
That is a little creepy, but you know, I'm trying to be healthier, well, you know, so giving it a shot.
Wait. Did you just say you're trying to be healthier and you're drinking an Arizona tea?
Yeah, Arizona is like, it's Arizona ginseng,
okay,
brain
enhancing. Can you go to the ingredients
diet tea
and tell me how much sugar is in there?
There's no sugar. It's zero carbs, zero calories. It's the diet iced tea.
Okay.
What are you calling me fat?
No, of course not. I'm just saying how I don't think I've met someone who sips cold tea. Usually drink.
Well, I was
it,
making no? that up just to interrupt you.
Because
You know, we made it on a famous podcast.
We did.
The podcast. What is it? Startup podcast.
Yeah, the startup podcast.
And they don't say anything about who we are, but they say, even podcasts, and then they hear you laughing and me interrupting you. So that's sort of the famous thing. But by the way, just for the record, fellow church planners, I'm drinking an Arizona diet green tea with ginseng, which is no carb, no calorie, and quite excellent tasting. Let me give you the opportunity to enjoy. Ready? Go.
Well, you know, I'm sure that's better than a Monster. So there you go.
Yes, that is. Why don't you just go ahead and strap paddles to your heart and see if you can knock it out of rhythm with that?
Yeah,
anyway,
precisely. Well, today we're going to be if this is your first time tuning in. Typically, we play a voicemail of one of you guys can send a voicemail in. We'll play it and answer it. You can go to speakpipe.com/newchurches. If you're on a mobile device, you could actually do that now and submit a question. Or if you're on your computer, you can go to newchurches.com and hit the sidebar on the right. But today, we're going to be continuing our little mini series where we are going to be answering office hours questions. Now, office hours is a highlight. It's a feature of Plus Membership.
It's the highlight of our lives.
Yeah, we guarantee you an answer. Any question you ask that week, we will guarantee you a contextualized answer. Well, you know,
not
ministry specific.
No, it could be like, you know, tell me about your tea drinking habits, or maybe they need marriage advice. I have a great marriage, so I could give marriage advice. Yeah. Do you have a great marriage?
I love my wife, and I think we do. So, but we're
okay, good. Well, 'cause we should probably ask her. But anyway, so when I hired you, I asked you about your marriage, but we haven't done an update. Let's do a live update right now about how your marriage is. Would that be probably not? Okay, moving on.
Yes. So maybe we'll answer those ones. We probably won't answer questions like, are you a boxers or a brief guy? But any question
you want to answer that right now?
We can if you want.
No, I don't want to know.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I don't even want to think about it. I can't even believe now that you put that in my mind.
My chiseled body.
All right. Stop. Church planning question time.
All right.
Church planning question.
So what we're going to do is, that's a feature of Plus Membership. You can learn more about that at newchurches.com. But what we're going to do is we're going to generalize.
Not the underwear part, but yeah. Questions are the feature.
We're going to generalize that question and just share it with all of you here. All right. So here's a question. How do we make church multiplication one of the byproducts of disciple multiplication and not the other way around? So how do we make church multiplication one of the byproducts of disciple multiplication and not the other way around? What are your thoughts?
Well, this guy, it kind of goes back to, for me, to a conversation that I had with the Wesleyans. I was speaking at their national gathering years ago. And gosh, I'm trying to remember who. Phil Stevenson invited me. And so so the Wesleyans know how far back that was. I don't know, maybe 10 years ago. I don't know. But they asked me to talk on multiplication. So I prepared a talk on church multiplication. And largely because that's what people often ask me to do. And then we kind of go from there. So what happened then is I get there, and in the midst of the conversation, I was instead told No, we want you to talk about multiplication at every level. And their phrase, Phil's phrase, was we want to multiply disciples, groups, I think he said ministries and churches. And so I've since stolen that and made it a mantra. So I think that you should indeed, if the first thing you multiply is a church, that's kind of a shocking thing to people. If multiplication is more how do you put it, more just inherent or more DNA-ish.
Yeah, part of the culture, one of the values.
Yeah, part of the culture. Then what happens is that you can specifically have multiplied disciples. And you specifically, because of those, you multiply groups. And then from those, you multiply ministries. And then it's like, okay, well, now it's just natural. So what I would say is you want to cast a vision for multiplication at every level, not and just for church multiplication. Because then if you don't have multiplication going on in your church, and then you go to church multiplication, it feels like subtraction to the people in your church, because mm-hmm. you're just taking people away, not multiplying them out. I love the way, gosh, I heard it from Matt Chandler first, they called them gospel goodbyes. Because, I mean, in a church plant, you're going to be sending people out. But like if people that. Have already said gospel goodbyes in a small group, you know, you've multiplied a small group. I remember this last small group I led in my neighborhood, we actually had one group in my home, and then we multiplied it to another just in the same neighborhood, and there were gospel goodbyes. Well, then it's just easier, and we're more accustomed to gospel goodbyes in our church as we send out church planters as well.
Yeah, I mean, if we play this out, right? If you have enough supporters, big enough budget, and you can go to particular cities, especially growing suburbs, growing neighborhoods in particular cities across, not even only in the States, but across this world, and you can pour a lot of money into marketing and have a big splash and quote unquote multiply your church. But if there's not a culture of disciple making and if multiplication isn't happening at every level of the church, I mean, yeah, for a while you could probably do this, but who are the people that are going to be coming to your church if you're not going to expect them, if you don't have much expectation for them to be in a group or to be discipled or to disciple others, and the only expectation is, hey, come and give, and now we're going to go do another big show because we have a massive budget, just come and give, come and give. We'll serve for you. We will serve you. We will feed you. And you could technically, quote unquote, I wouldn't call it multiplying your church. It would be addition. But you know, you could technically do that. But that doesn't mean the multiplication of disciples is happening.
Yeah, and again, it is an ironic point that you can multiply a church without multiplying disciples. So if you're doing that, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah,
and we'd like you to stop.
Yeah,
and so what we want to do is
it's sheep transfer. That's all you're doing, right?
Yeah,
you're,
for sure.
And you're feeding into the consumeristic mindset of Christians.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the reality is, I mean, I recently had a conversation, actually it was with the startup podcast people, and they were asking me, so do most people who come to new churches, are most of them non-Christians? And my answer was no. Now most of them could be unchurched people. In other words, it might be Christians who've dropped out of church and you're kind of bringing them back. But we want that to be higher, and we want that to be more evident and present. And for it to be more evident and present, you've got to have disciple-making multiplication taking place in every stage of church life. So, you know, and this doesn't go away. You know, I mean, Moody Church, where I'm serving now, is the oldest extant mega church in the whole world. And for us, we got to remember multiplying disciples. It is naturally atrophies. As a matter of fact, it's easier to cast a vision for planting a new church than raising up new disciples. So, because again, it's a tangible thing that on Sunday, such and such a time, we're going to start a new congregation. But we've got to say on every day, we're going to be making new disciples. We're going to be training more, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Now, Ed, do you remember a few dozen episodes back, we recorded live at Exponential, and there was that one church. It was a I think it was a Canadian church, but it was part of a network or a denomination where they said it was like 80% of their church were unchurched. Do you remember that?
I think, yeah, we were in the breakout, right? We were recording in that room.
Yeah, which network, which church was that?
I don't remember.
Yeah, so I mean, it was fascinating because when that individual asked the question, right, when he asked that question and he shared that his church was something like 80% unchurched, the entire room was like, what are you talking about? There are churches that are 80% unchurched in North America?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think it's true. But by the way, let me caveat though, because I had this is part of the discussion I had with them, is that unchurched does not always mean non-Christian. What they said was non-Christian. So we don't know the percentage. So one of the things that people say is, you know, most of our church comes from an unchurched background. Well, the last church I planted, I'd say probably most of them came from an unchurched background, but that doesn't mean they weren't Christians. That means they hadn't been going to church for a long time, and then a new church became a way for them to engage in that again. But yeah, so I mean, this is the thing. You know, when we did that research project, we published this, right? You and I did this. Mm-hmm. We looked at the one where it's at over 50% from the unchurched background. Did we do that together? That was one of our research projects. We did Lifeway Research. I don't know if you did it with me or if I did it with Lifeway Research. And there were certain factors that we were looking for and wanting to celebrate a higher level of multiplying of disciples, because that ultimately is the key. And that's what we're looking at, is how do we multiply those disciples. So again, I want to go back to the whole premise of this person's question. I don't want to multiply churches if it doesn't involve the multiplying of disciples. If it involves the multiplying of disciples, we might have to nudge it towards church planting, because you can multiply disciples and not plant churches. But when those two things are together, that's the sweet spot you want to be in. That's where God is most glorified. That's where people are coming to Christ and seeing their lives changed by the power of the gospel. That's why I got into church planting in the first place.
Yeah, and biblical disciple making does not result in just greater head knowledge without action, right? Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. And I mean, even if you look at there and Acts 1:8 that he's, and John 20:21, I mean, he is sending us out. So there's this often this dichotomy where it's like, no, our church is a Bible church, or we're a disciple, you know, we're a disciple making church. And another church is like, no, we're an evangelistic church. Well, you need both. Biblical discipleship has to lead to evangelism, but evangelism has to lead to discipleship. And there's no way you can multiply your church without multiplying disciples. I like thinking about it in micro-macro ways. It's kind of like micro-multiplication is disciple multiplication, and macro-multiplication is church multiplication. One leads to the other, and you need both.
Yeah, no, I think that's good. And I think for us, for all of us, we've got to remember that because church planting is now the in hot thing, which is great in many ways, but the downside of being the in hot thing is that it actually can be done without the things that should be in it. And so I think even this person's question is predicated on the reality that he or she thinks that we have separated those two things. It's, you know, I mean, I've been a professor for a long enough time to know that a lot of times a question's a point. And I try to tell my students, don't ask your question in such a way that your fellow students want to amen it at the end, because I know what you're doing. But again, and that was a great question, but I think it also is a point, and I'm right on with this person, that this is a problem we need to address today. We need to be multiplying disciples that connect with the multiplying of churches, but the key is the multiplying of disciples.
Fantastic. Thanks again for listening in. If you haven't yet rated and reviewed us.
If they haven't rated or reviewed us, why are they even on this program?
Well, so a lot of people, I mean, they should do this right now. Well, a lot of people listen to podcasts through other apps. But if you, so if you haven't rated and reviewed us on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, we would deeply appreciate that.
Apple Podcasts, is that what we're calling it now? Is that what all the kids
are
calling it?
Yeah, I mean, they keep on changing their names, so.
So, yeah. I call it iTunes. I call it iTunes, but what do I know? I'm not the hipster that you are, so.
Well, we'll catch you guys next time.